Hi, this is Edwin Watts. You're listening to Golf Better at EdwinWattsGolf.com.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Episode number 40. Good day, everyone. My name is Tom Brussell, and joining me as he does each episode is technical specialist Kenny Nicholson. Kenny, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Tom.
Hey, it sounds from our lead-in, we got a pretty exciting show today. Let's turn the clock back first to our last episode, though, but you got a lot of feedback from the episode with Chad Campbell.
Yeah, definitely did. It seems like the listener enjoyed the show, and, you know, once again, we talk about, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and every time we get, you know, one of these engineers or a tour player on, you find out something that, hey, I didn't know what I thought I knew about golf, so it's exciting for us as well.
Yeah, we had Chad Campbell and Scott Burnett from Adams Golf, the lead designer for the Speedline driver. And if you missed that episode, it's easy to find. Just go to iTunes or go back to where you found this one on the Golf Better podcast and look for episode number 39. Well, Kenny, I'm going to let you introduce our guest. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. One of mine as well. Not only have I worked for the guy for 15 years and called him my boss, but he's been doing it for over 40 years. So today's show is going to be exciting for us as well as the listener. Joining us on today's episode is none other than Mr. Edwin Watts himself. Edwin, how are you doing today?
Great, Kenny. Appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Oh, it's great having you, Edwin. Hey, before we get into some questions, I want to ask you this because I've lived around the country after moving away. I was in Denver and Atlanta, and I had people would come to, and ask me, there really is an Edwin Watts? I mean, do you ever get that? Sometimes they think you're a fictional character, yeah, like the Pep Boys or something. Do you get that when you travel?
I do. When I go to stores for grand openings, the people come in and they always say, wow, I didn't know that you really existed. We thought it was a fictional name or some name you guys came up with, but I'm for real. And the reason our company's done so well over all the years is not me. And I've always tried to take the backstage because we have such outstanding people as you two, Kenny and Tom. And we have 600 other great people in our company who's been with our company a long time. So I've always tried to stay, you know, support all our people and maybe take a little bit of the backside of it.
It's one of those things. I've been working for Edwin for 15 years, and it's been an absolutely incredible 15 years. And we get that on the phone all the time too, as well. There really is an Edwin Watts, you know. So if you could just give us a brief history, Edwin, on, you know, when the company started and you know, what was your desire?
Can we go back to the beginnings, like when I was 14 years old and you were a guy like junior college golfer, right? And you got a chance to be a pro at the local golf course, right?
Well, what actually happened, this is our 41st year. We, you know, very few businesses. We're very fortunate, we believe, to be in business for 41 years doing something that we really love, which is selling equipment to golfers and having them in, you know, improve their games. But essentially, how I started was, and my brother Ronnie and I were partners in the business, and another guy named Kenny Cook. We started basically as caddies at a golf course when we were kids. We fell in love with the game by just caddying, and then working at the shop, putting up golf carts, cleaning clubs, the whole deal, picking up range balls, and then finally to assistant pro. And then finally, when I was 22 years old, I was made the head pro at Fort Walton Beach Golf Club, along with my brother Ronnie. And we ran the golf course and the concessions there. And that's actually where we got the first idea. That was in the year 1968. That's when we got the idea to actually merchandise golf equipment. Because back in those days, 41 years ago now, it's kind of shocking, but there was virtually no place to buy golf equipment, especially hard goods. So we had the concept of starting a retail chain right out of the little golf shop. Pro shop in 1968.
Now, when you say little, you're not exaggerating. I mean, we're talking how many square feet was the pro shop?
I think the first shop was probably like 1,000 square feet.
And if I'm not mistaken, there were two cash registers, one for Edwin Watts and one for the city where they'd pay the green fee.
It was a public, we were fortunate, it was a public golf course and a very good public course. In fact, it's still an extremely good golf course.
And one of the things I remember is you used to like taking that bucket of balls and going down to the range and teaching too, right?
Exactly. I loved all phases of the business along with my brother and of course, all the people in our company. We think we have very passionate people in our company that love the game and love to play the game. And a lot of people in our company teach golf and are experts at golf. But that's how we started as teaching and working in the shop and merchandising. And we're still doing it 41 years later.
Yeah, I'm happy to say that was actually before my time. But at some point, you had to make a decision, you know, because obviously where Edwin Watts Golf is today is a lot bigger than it was then. So there was a decision to branch out. And if you don't mind telling us, you know, I think you had a retail store that you opened up in another state and some other things that you did to create what today is Edwin Watts Golf Shops.
But there was, we thought there was a void out there for equipment, and we thought that a very important part of the game was the equipment side, but yet golfers could not buy equipment. It was virtually not available, especially golf equipment, golf clubs. And so we had that idea, and we started at the little shop, and we merchandised hard goods. And sure enough, we did pretty well. And then we tried a national ad in a Wall Street Journal one time and did extremely well there. Then we expanded to one store in Memphis, Tennessee, was our next first store outside of the golf club. We did well there. And then we went to Pensacola, Florida, which is 50 miles down the road from our headquarters here, and opened a store there along with a part. We partnered with a guy named Mike Casey. And that store did well also. And then we went next to Kenner, Louisiana, a suburb of New Orleans. And we did extremely well there. And that's how we started. We just branched out one place at a time as we had the funds to do it. We never borrowed the money to expand the business. We just didn't believe in that. But one place at a time, and we were fortunate to get really, really great people early on in our company that are, many of them are still with us. Like, you two guys have been here a long time. And they're still with us, and that's what makes a business work, is having great people. And we think we have not only the best people, but we also have the best customers. And we'd like to, you know, thank all of you out there for shopping with us. We know that there's other places to buy equipment, but believe me, we will take great care of you, and we'll treat you guys just like family.
Founder of Edwin Watts Golf, Edwin himself joining us. You touched on something a minute ago, Edwin. Talk about that first ad in the Wall Street Journal, because I know that wasn't easy. I mean, you really stepped out on that one, you and Ronnie. Talk about that.
We knew that we wanted to experiment. We thought we were on to avoid a new business and a new business of golf retailing. And so we had a special buy on a certain Titleist golf club, Woods and Irons. And so we thought we had just tested the waters a little bit. So we ran an ad that, you know, was very, for us, a lot of money back then. In the Wall Street Journal, and it was a little ad about a sixth of a page or seventh of a page or eighth. The ad was like, I think it was $1,500. And to make a long story short, we sold an awful lot of golf clubs off that one ad, more than we could even process. And so we knew then there was a void out there for golf equipment, and that's why we started the company and kept expanding it.
When you put the phone number in the ad and the phone started ringing off the first ad, I guess you knew you were kind of on to something.
Right? Yeah, it was really funny because we shared a phone with the city golf course, which were taking tee time. So between the calls for tee times, and we would take orders, but we'd take a tee time 1 minute, and the next minute we'd take five orders for clubs and then another tee time. So it's really fun, though. It's fun. The golf business is a great business. It's really fun. You're dealing with a lot of great people, and customers are just sensational. And I feel very fortunate to be in a business for 41 years that really, really allows you to do something you enjoy and have a good time at it.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we wouldn't be, Edwin Watts Golf as a company wouldn't be as big as they are without some of the risks that you took along the way. And obviously, I'm very thankful for that. But at some point in time, you had to make a decision that, hey, I'm going to start producing a catalog. And, you know, if you could tell us about when was the first year that you came out with the catalog and what was the thought process there?
Well, our first national ads, out other than the Wall Street Journal, that one ad in Wall Street Journal, we ran ads in Golf Digest, and we would take out just very small ads, I think like a sixth of a page in the back in the shopper section. And that was our ads for a while. And then we started, you know, getting a little bigger in Golf Digest. We finally ended up after 2 or 3 years, we ended up with double page ads in Golf Digest, back to back double page black and white ads. And then our first catalog was actually a little flyer that we folded up that was black and white. And the first catalog we did, actually, we couldn't afford all colors, so we did like half black and white and half color. In the first catalog, it was really, really funny. I've never seen a catalog that was half and half before.
A Kodak moment, yeah, a little bit of both.
Exactly.
I'll take that one in black, that one in color. I can see it now. I've actually seen some of the old ads and actually some of the old orders from the Wall Street Journal that were in a plaque back in the back of the warehouse, not only, you know, to about a month ago or something. So it's kind of funny looking back to where you started and the success that you had and the success that we still have today because of the foundation that you laid for us. What were some of the big changes within the golf industry that you saw throughout the years? I mean, you went from persimmon to metal to titanium and you know, you've seen a lot more of it than I have. If you could, you know, just hey, what was some of the biggest changes that you saw?
Well, the one of the things that's really funny now, we used to sell full sets of golf clubs. You'd buy, it was a set of full, 3 woods and 9 irons was a set, and you never, ever sold individual golf clubs. You occasionally, you would sell putters, obviously, and sand wedges, but outside that, it was a full set of golf clubs. And our first golf clubs we sold were Persimmon Woods and Forged Irons. That was a long time before they came out with graphite shafts and all this new high-tech equipment that is so much easier to play with. But it went from, you know, forged Persimmon Woods was the hottest thing at one time. Then it went to metal woods with Gary Adams at TaylorMade came out with a metal golf club called the TaylorMade. And we were actually some of the very first people to merchandise that golf club. In fact, we even installed at one point before graphite shafts, we experimented with putting in titanium shafts in a TaylorMade metal wood, the old ones. And sure enough, we found that the ball would go longer. And that's prior to any of the major companies putting in graphite. That was prior, titanium preceded graphite shafts.
Yeah, and I have one of those. TaylorMade fresh metal tour burner, yeah. 8-degree with a titanium shaft. I can't hit it now, but I still have it.
But to make a long story short, the TaylorMade metal wood, some of the first ones that we put titanium shafts in, ourselves, we did it ourselves. We sold literally thousands of those clubs. And then the company started thinking, well, maybe lighter shafts. They started experimenting with titanium. And then, of course, graphite came out. Shafts came out after that. A much heavier version back then than the real light graphite shafts that are much better now.
Ed, when you were talking about the graphite and the change into TaylorMade, talk about, I remember around 1992 or so, a company named Callaway Golf brought the Big Bertha into the line, and that thing, I don't think you could keep them in stock, could you?
No, we couldn't. In fact, that's a really great story. Ely Callaway had just purchased a little company called Hickory Stick from a friend of his, and the company was very small. They only had Hickory Stick wedges, and we were the first to get on board selling the Hickory Stick wedges. And later, Ely Callaway had bought that company. I met Ely just a few months after we bought the first Hickory Stick wedges, and Ely and I became great friends. Immediately, we became very, very good friends, and we were great friends until he died in 2001. But to make a long story short, the guy was a tremendous merchandiser and thinker and innovator in golf, and he came out with a golf club later on called the Big Bertha. We even helped Ely come up with that name. He gave us some names that he thought of. And he called me one day and he said, which one do you like the best? I said, well, I'm not sure I like any of them the best, real good, but I do like that Big Bertha name. So anyway, to make a long story short, we think we had a little bit to do with the name Big Bertha. And, of course, Ely, the golf clubs, they came up with the metal stainless titanium head clubs that you couldn't, it really improved. It made the heads much lighter. Shafts were already lighter by then, the graphite shafts. So people could play with a much bigger club head. They could move the weight around in the golf club. And instantly, people would improve their driving by using a Big Bertha metal head titanium driver.
I remember when they first came out with the titanium heads, you reminded me of the old days as a kid growing up playing wiffle ball, and you had that big, fat, red bat, the no-miss bat, because the heads were so big when they first came out. It was such a big transition. It's probably one of the biggest that I can remember seeing. You know, they came out with the Big Bertha titanium, and then they came out with, well, it was the Great Big Bertha, and then when they made the biggest Big Bertha, which was 300 cc's at the time, it was like, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me to think now that drivers are 460 cc's is incredible. But we've helped along the way, obviously, you know, with the name of the Big Bertha driver. I remember TaylorMade came to us when they had the copper-headed TaylorMade tie bubble is what it was, or the burner bubble shaft. But that was one of the things that we felt like we were instrumental in as well. And it was extremely noticeable, especially on tour. When a guy had one, it was very easy to tell that he was playing that golf club. And one of the first jobs that I had when I started here 15 years ago was working in the warehouse. And one of the things I had to do all day long, because the Big Berthas were so popular, the whole day I had to stock that shelf and keep head covers going because they were moving out the door that fast.
Oh, my. Edwin, you talked about the advancement in the driver. Talk about the irons, because irons used to be a sweet spot, used to be like a dot. Now the game improvement irons have really helped the guy that might not be a real good player enjoy the game a lot more.
That's right, Tom. Originally, it was forged golf clubs, much smaller forged clubs than they have nowadays, because now they have the cavity back, larger forged clubs that are much easier to hit. But, yes, the first company to come out with cast clubs was the Ping. Ping came out with the Karsten 1 irons. I think it was like 19...
It was in the late 60s.
But that was the first, of course, they looked really strange back then. But when we finally sold the first set we had. It took a while. Then after that, the rest is history. It's been a tremendous seller and great products. Ping has always made unbelievable great products, along with all the companies we carry. We only carry the very best lines. But the golf equipment has really, really changed over the years. And the good news is they're right now the equipment is so much easier to hit than, say, 40 years ago when we first started. It's not even – there's just huge difference. It's so much easier to hit, to play, and play better and hit the ball long. And the golf balls have improved unbelievable. So right now, the game is much easier because of the great equipment that all the manufacturers that we carry make.
Speaking of that, I mean, there's obviously a ton of new equipment out right now. And I tell customers sometimes that are my regular customers, hey, if you can't hit it now, there's a problem. We need to figure something out. But can you touch on some of the things now that you see that are changing the game and making it easier for the average guy out there?
Well, the hybrids, recently the hybrids, and we think we had a little bit to do with that. A few years ago, we tried to get the manufacturers to come up with a golf club for the long irons that looked more like a wood. And we had a golf club in my office. I had a golf club from a long time ago, a Spalding golf club, that was really the first hybrid out.
The old Executive, I think.
Executive XE.
Yeah.
And we never could get any of the manufacturers to make that. So finally, eventually, like I guess about six, seven years ago, since the manufacturers wouldn't come out with it, we came out with a golf club that was a hybrid of our own. And sure enough, we sold them like hotcakes. Now, we didn't call them hybrids then, but and then the manufacturers gradually got on board, and then there was no reason for us to continue. The name of our club that we came up with was the Link Solution. Mm-hmm. And Kerry Cabase, here in our company, it's been with us a long time. He was instrumental in coming out with that golf club and getting the manufacturers to make hybrids. So in my opinion, the most recent thing that's really helped the average golfer, and if you don't have them in your bag, you're really missing a boat, because it really will take off your score, will improve your score. And we suggested that maybe many hybrids, you should have maybe at least two or three hybrids in your bag. And even the touring pros now are using hybrids, and they're really, really loving them, and they're improving their game. So hybrids, we think, has been one of the greatest things recently that's come out. Obviously, the new adjustable golf clubs, you can adjust the weights in and change the trajectory of the ball. You can change the face angle to your swing, ever how you hit the ball. Those have been big improvements. Obviously, like I talked about before, the super light graphite shafts have been a huge improvement and really have improved the ability to make the head of the golf club perform better for the average golfer. The golf balls I mentioned before, the golf balls have unbelievably improved. From 40 years ago, I would, if I had to guess, I'd say that the current golf ball is at least 40 yards longer than 40 years ago.
Yeah, technology's changed so much. I mean, they look so much at spin rate, how soft the golf ball is, if it's a performance ball or if it's a player's type ball. And I mean, you go back just, 10, 12 years ago when you had the Balata and you go out there with a brand new dozen golf balls and you accidentally blade one across the green, it's got a big smiley face on it, pluck, down goes another one. luckily for us, the manufacturers fixed that problem. So the golf ball seems to last a little bit longer.
Yeah, it would be interesting to go out and hit an old ball with an old persimmon driver, then take the new technology and hit it with the new ball with the new technology and see how the difference. It's got to be unbelievable.
Yeah, I've always kind of had that, talking about playing golf tournaments and stuff here within the guys in the office and stuff. Hey, let's do that sometime. I mean, you got to play with a persimmon driver. You got to try to find one of those old golf balls that I'm sure somebody has around here And whether you have a persimmon wood or something, let's go out there and see what you can do with that old technology. Because I'm telling you right now, when you look at what tour players are doing right now with the hybrids in their bags and some of the game improvement clubs on their long irons, it tells you, the average guy out there, that, hey, I definitely need to take a look at this if I haven't already. And we see it in the sets that we sell. You know, years ago when you started, you sold 9-iron sets, but it wasn't 3 through sand wedge. It was 2 through 9
and pitching wedge.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, technology's changed. Typically now our sets start out 4 through pitching wedge or 4 through sand wedge, and then we added, try to get some hybrids in there to make it easier for you. So technology's changed in every aspect of it.
And the number of wedges. There was barely a sand wedge, like you said, back in the day, and now you've got 3 wedges.
Yeah, 3. I play 4. I mean, yeah. It depends on who you are, where I'm playing, but typically what you find now is most guys carry 2 or 3 different wedges in their bag. So, and I think the big thing that you touched on, Edwin, was driver technology. There's so much that you can do with these drivers these days. If you slice the golf ball, you can move weight towards the heel to help, speed the toe up and prevent that from happening. And there's some manufacturers out there that have some great drivers out right now that I know that you had a chance to play. I write about them on my Knicks pick, but you've had a chance to try some of these as well. Which ones did you find that were kind of exciting?
Well, I just love trying new golf clubs, so I try them all out. And the good news, like I said earlier, the clubs are so much easier to hit. And every year it seems like that the clubs are much better even than the previous year. So anyway, this year, some of the new exciting ones that I personally have tried or looked at, new Taylor R9 driver is very impressive. You can change the angle of the face to match your swing, and you can also change the weights to match your loft. You can get the right loft, launch angle, and everything. That's a really good one. The new Callaway FT9 driver is just fantastic. The new Titleist, the 909D2 driver. The new Cleveland launcher drivers, the series of them, I've hit those. Those are for people that hit the ball and balloon the ball. I found that golf club, the ball doesn't balloon as much for people that really hit it too high. New, obviously, the Adams hybrid irons are very easy to hit. Like we talked about earlier, there's a lot of hybrid there in the longer irons.
Yeah, definitely easier to get the ball airborne.
Great golf club for everybody, but especially for ladies and senior players. New Speedline driver. I'd also like to mention, guys, too, that outside of equipment, one of the greatest things I think that's come along in a long time that really helps is these new laser rangefinders.
Oh, yeah. I've got a laser and a GPS, and they don't always have both of them in the bag, so it doesn't matter which one I use, but something that I use on every single hole at the golf course. I mean, it's great to be able to not guess at the yardage. The thing I like so much about the laser is being able to point at a certain area if you want to lay up or, you want an exact yardage to a specific location, not so much the pin, although they are extremely easy to locate the pin. And then the GPS, obviously, I mean, if you're in the woods and you can't aim somewhere, which I find myself in the woods, so you can't aim somewhere.
Yeah.
You can't aim somewhere, so you got the GPS to tell you exactly how far you need to hit it.
Edwin Watts joining us. Another thing, Edwin, on the course is how you feel on the course certainly has changed. The shoes have become a lot more comfortable. Apparel is not just a heavy cotton shirt anymore, and Edwin Watts Golf carries all that.
Oh, yeah. See, that's a huge improvement. The clothing is much more comfortable, and especially in the heat. They're coming out with all these new fabrics that makes it a lot more comfortable play when it's real hot. The golf shoes are unbelievable more comfortable. Used to be a lot heavier, too.
Very heavy and not water-resistant whatsoever.
Yeah, leather. In fact, the leather would gain weight because they would absorb water and get heavier and heavier.
Yeah, you'd walk out with a 1-pound pair of shoes and come back with a 7-pound pair of shoes.
and the spikes also, they're, you couldn't, with the steel spikes a long time ago, you virtually couldn't go in clubhouses and all that because you'd tear the floors up. But it's just much easier to play the game now, and it's much more – I think a lot of fun. The fun part of golf is not only playing different golf courses, because all of them are beautiful and they're fun and challenging. And of course, playing with your friends, and the fact that the equipment is so much fun just to look at and hit the equipment and try it. And then we also have in our stores, another thing we need to talk about, we have these new launch monitors in our stores where we can tell you inside our building exactly how far you're hitting the golf ball. We can tell your ball speed. We can fit you, and we can get you, say, for instance, if you're trying a driver, we can have you hit several drivers in a store, and it shows how far the ball carries, how the launch angle, the height, the carry, the roll. Keep switching drivers to your particular swing and get a golf club that you instantly tell performs much better than the one we just tried two clubs ago.
Somebody asked me a while back, they said, how can you give a lesson in a store versus on the range? I said, we do it better. Yeah, they do it scientifically better.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I can take somebody into a launch monitor and know without a reasonable doubt that you have the exact golf club that is the best golf club for you on the golf course. One, because it tells me the launch angle, tells me the spin rate, tells me the ball speed, tells me the distance, tells me everything that I need to know. And on the golf course, you can get pretty close, but trying to tell the difference between 10 and 12 degrees launch angle, and you definitely can't see the spin rate. You know, in a launch monitor, it's on a computer. It tells you exactly what the golf ball is doing when it comes off the club face, which is the most important thing. I mean, that's at the end of it. That's what's going to affect the launch and spin of the golf ball. And you can tell without a reasonable doubt that you have the perfect golf club in your hands.
That's exactly right, Kenny. On a driving range, you got to remember the weather is a factor, the wind's a factor, and you really can't tell, even though there's markers out there, you really can't tell how far the ball exactly carried, because you could be hitting from a different tee marker than where the range was measured from. So in our stores with all the launch monitors, you really, really can tell the difference. And you can see instant performance. You can bring your driver in, your irons in, and we can show you instant improvement. And we can fit you. We believe we have the very best experts in the business in our stores. And they can fit you to the exact golf club that would really improve your game.
Hey, Edwin, thanks so much today. On the closing note, anything you'd like to tell our customers and our listeners who have been loyal customers and loyal listeners all the years?
Absolutely. The big word is thank you very much. We would not have been in business for 41 years unless it was you guys that supported us over the years and made it possible. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate it and how much we thank you. And believe me, we will take great care of you. Our people are dedicated to great customer service, and that's what we believe is the number one main thing that's made our business successful. So we always take care of you, and, hey, we'd love to have you come visit us if you're in Fort Walton or any of our stores. Our guys are – you don't have to buy anything. Of course, we want you to buy, but you don't have to buy anything. We just come in our stores and have a good time, hit balls, and have a great time, because we are in the business of fun. And we want you to have a great time. And we know that if we take good care of you, you'll take good care of us. And we really appreciate it very, very much, all your business over all these 41 years now.
Yes, the one thing that I learned when I got here that Edwin Watts is 100% about customer service, and it still is today. So we appreciate, you know, what you instilled in us, and I'm sure that the customer does as well.
Hey, that was great. Edwin, hang with us for just a few minutes, if you will. Kenny, talk to the listeners a little bit about how they can listen in to past episodes as well as subscribe to future episodes.
Yeah, they can simply go to the EdwinWattsGolf.com website and click on the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf podcast logo there on the left-hand side of the homepage, and that'll bring you to the landing page for all of the episodes that we've done over the last couple of years. And then you can also go to iTunes and subscribe to the Golf Better podcast, and it automatically dump into your iTunes account every time we do a new episode every couple of weeks.
And to give us comments and questions and concerns, there's an Ask Kenny button, correct?
Yeah, something that we love, and it's, you know, part of the show. I mean, we do Ask Kenny segments, which are, you know, one of the most fun topics for me, because it's questions from you, the listener, about, you know, things that are happening in the golf industry, and then problems or questions that you have with golf equipment or golf course situations. And I personally answer each and every one of those, whether we use it on the show or not. But it's something that I really enjoy doing, and we love hearing from you, the listener.
From last episode, episode number 39, courtesy of Adams Golf, we've got a Speedline driver to give away.
Yeah, man, I couldn't be more excited to talk to the guys over at Adams, and they agreed to give away a Speedline driver, something that I've tested and written about, and I absolutely love the product. So we're going to be giving one of those away to one of the lucky listeners out there.
And so Edwin is going to help us with the Adams Speedline driver that Adams was kind enough to give to us last year. So, Edwin, get to do the math. You get to pick a number, or your lucky number, between 1 and 73.
About 72.
70,
even par.
72, even par. That's interesting. That's Mr. P.E. Wilkinson of 8841 Scenic Hills Drive in Pensacola, Florida, is the lucky winner of the Adams Speedline driver. So we'll be getting in touch with him.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's been into to the store over there and seen Mike and John and those guys. And we appreciate him signing up and everybody else as well. So look for some future episodes for some great prizes and merchandise that we're going to be giving away as well.
Edwin, thanks again so much for your time. It has really been a pleasure having you on. Kenny, thank you again for all you do each and every episode. And to our listeners and subscribers, thanks so much for making us a part of your day. Be sure to tune back in 2 more weeks for another episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. So long, everyone.